You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Jesus Christ called John the Baptizer the greatest. The greatest thing about him was that he did not know that he was great.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
How can we celebrate the coming of your Son, O God, unless he is to us the greatest and the best? Give us ears to hear, O God, the good news of your kindness and forgiveness for the sake of your Son who died for us and rose again. Give us ears to hear and hearts to follow him with faith and with love. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. There have been a lot of great people, but there's never been a greater than the man many of his contemporaries must have called the wilderness weirdo, John the Baptizer. What made the man so great? Greater than Alexander the Great and Frederick the Great and all the men of history whom people have called great. For one thing, unlike all the others whom people have called great, this man did not know that he was great. He did not pursue greatness. It just came to him, you might say, by the grace of God. It was another who called John the greatest, the one whose way John prepared. Of that man, John himself said, "He is greater than I. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. He must increase, and I must decrease." They were cousins, John and Jesus, very unlike each other, but in one way, very much alike. Neither gave greatness any thought at all. Each had a mission to perform, but that mission was not to be considered great as ambitious people count greatness. The fact of the matter is that John was great because Jesus said he was. For John, it was the greatest thing that could have happened to him that Jesus would just be there. Of Jesus, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." It's the greatest proclamation the world has ever heard. And John was the prophet to make it. I guess you could say that it was by the grace of God that John was born at all. His father Zechariah and his mother Elizabeth both knew it. Elizabeth's cousin, herself going to have a baby, came down to visit in the hill country of Judea. Both of these women knew they were going to have a baby. The one because the baby jumped in her womb, and the other because an angel had come and given her the message that she was going to have a baby. I put it to you, doesn't that whole thing sound remarkable? To some people I know, it must sound like a fairy tale. But it's real, I can assure you. Two real babies were born. The one named John, under rather extraordinary circumstances, and the other named Jesus, under circumstances even more extraordinary. Remarkable as it is not unreal. Two real babies were born who grew up to be two real men, one of them, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, called the other one the greatest. He added, "Nevertheless, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John." John the Baptizer could see the man whom he was proclaiming. The people of the kingdom believe on him though they have not seen him, and they love him though they do not see him even now. People believe in him, and in that faith become sons and daughters of God themselves. As sons and daughters of God in his family, they proclaim the good and great name of their brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. God gives people like that a great name. He calls them the greatest. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John, and he's the greatest. Keep that in mind when you think of yourself as a miserable failure. By faith in Jesus Christ, you become great, and your life becomes extraordinary. By faith in Jesus Christ, you show love, which nobody else has the courage to show. You are clothed in the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God, as St. Paul iterated and Martin Luther reiterated, is not something he requires of us, but something he invests in us. He bestows on people who have faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God and the Savior of the world. We remember that at Christmas time. It's the purpose of Christmas, and it is the meaning of Christmas. It's the greatness of Advent, and the greatness of the prophet of Advent, John the Baptizer, to tell of Jesus. Our world is reminded of the real purpose and the true meaning of the event of Christmas. This is what Christmas is all about. It's the birthday of Christ, and he makes people great. Advent is the season of preparation for Christmas, which the church has observed for centuries. John is the prophet of Advent. He did not spend his time fretting and stewing and fearing and worrying over what is coming, because he knew who was coming. He knew out there in the wilderness, dressed in rough clothing and eating raw food. He knew. And people flocked to hear him. People are longing today to hear from someone who knows and is sure. Sometimes they flock to the wrong man to hear the wrong things just because someone claims he knows and knows for sure. Disappointed, they turn away from everything that is known and that is sure. The message of Advent is for sure. It's that Jesus Christ can be known for sure. That's the message of John, and it's the message of the gospel today. Repent and believe the good news that comes from God. It's in his Son, Jesus Christ. John was the greatest. He knew and was sure of Jesus Christ. That knowledge and that certainty sustained him in those days when he lived the desert life. It was a life of discipline and self-denial. Jesus himself pointed out that John did not wear soft, velvety clothes and live in king's palaces. He was the wilderness wonder, going about there in that cruel and savage desert, dressed in camel skins and dining on locusts and wild honey. If there's one thing John was not, it was a person who pampered himself and was coddled, indulging himself in all kinds of luxury. He refused to listen to all those voices around him who might have urged him, rid yourself of all these hang-ups, these inhibitions and restraints, and do your own thing. Be your own self. No man in history has ever been less beholden to others and more himself than John the Baptizer. His eyes, his voice, his life were fixed on God. He did not worry about what he had to say, as long as it came from God. Who has warned you vipers to flee from the wrath to come, he said to those fine feathered people who parade their religion and try to dominate the lives of other people. John got his word from God, and he took his cue from God. You're not really a liberated person when you're the wretched servant of your own unholy appetites and desires. John knew how to say no to himself, and how to be lord and master of his own desires and drives. He did not allow himself to be hooked, trapped, and tyrannized by the transitory pleasures and treasures and possessions which promised to free people and then only enslave them. The camel skin, the locust, and the wild honey will be just fine, thank you, said John. The prophet of Advent was a rock, not a reed shaken by the wind. That's how Jesus Christ himself described John, when he characterized him as the greatest. Rocks are solid. They stand firm and stay put. They don't waver and vacillate or change their position. You can count on rocks. Not so with reeds. They blow this way and that with every wind and breeze. They're easily uprooted, broken, and crushed. They have no staying powers or stability. They can provide no shelter or support. John was a rock, a kind of rough rock, but a rock. That preaching of his about repentance was not exactly welcome in his world, and it is not so welcome today. Repentance calls for dramatic, radical change in one's lifestyle. It's not the kind of talk that makes one popular, even today. Yet people came out to hear him, and to hear him in droves. Even some of the richest and most powerful were attracted by the spectacle. John did not expect applause when he called both religious and political authorities a bunch of rattlesnakes and told them that the axe of God's judgment was about to chop down the fruitless trees of their lives. Surely he must have known that when you publicly denounce the king as an adulterer, you can lose your head for it. He did. That rarity is a rock in a desert. The man simply didn't have a price, even though people say that every man has his price. John was true to God and to himself. As Christ said, he was the greatest. Of those that have been born of women, there has not been a greater than John the Baptizer. John spoke for one whose winnowing fork is in his hand. He separates the wheat from the chaff. He knows the hearts of people and is not impressed with outward appearance, nor is he impressed by piety, no matter how righteously it may put on airs. He is not awed by ancestry, nor does he grovel in the face of overweening authority. The one whom John represents, whom John proclaims, is the God of the universe. He's the Word of the living God by whom the worlds were made. He's a man, as men were meant to be. He's the Savior of the world, of whom another John said, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That word is God's last word. His name is Jesus Christ. Let no one say that it's cheap to represent the living God. It costs, and it costs a lot. John's kind of greatness does not come cheaply. John died, his head on a silver platter, carried by a dancing girl, probably to the horror of everyone around, except maybe that petty little tyrant who thought he had the power of life and death. The tyrants are still around, but they're going to die. God will take care of them, as he always does. The great God may not have looked so great on that day when John died, but he was going to show his greatness in his own way, in the Son whom he sent, the Son who died, and the Son whom he raised from the dead in order to show forth his glory. The prophet of the Most High was born in a remarkable way, lived a remarkable life, and died a remarkable death. He was the greatest, said the Son of God. The Son of the living God, whom the prophet proclaimed, was born in even a more remarkable way, lived even a more remarkable life, and died even a more remarkable death in all his purity and innocence. The Son of God died, obedient to his Father, for all of our disobedience, taking into his own heart our sin and our death. Because he did that for us, and all for us, God gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue call him Lord. The glory of God is his grace in Jesus Christ. We celebrate his grace at Christmas time. He is the greatest. The glory of God is his grace in Jesus Christ. We celebrate his grace at Christmas time. He's the greatest. And he's the one who said of the prophet, he is the greatest. The glory of Jesus Christ is his death for the sins of the world. And his glory is his resurrection to command our faith and to assure all who believe in him of God's forgiveness. Jesus Christ is the greatest, and John is his prophet. The glory of John is that he called a heedless humanity to repentance for sin and to faith in Jesus, the Messiah sent by God. John, said Jesus, was the greatest. The glory of every believer is to live the life of faith with the courage to love and to bring forth fruits meet for repentance by the grace of God through the merits of Christ. That's life at its very greatest. The glory is for you, my friend, as it was for John, the least in the kingdom. It is in Jesus Christ that you find the glory. Repent and believe, cries the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Repent and believe in the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world and have life, which is the greatest. Amen.